pleasure once again to be here this afternoon. It's been a pleasure to be here this day. What a joyous privilege we have together in the house of the Lord on the first day of the week with those of like precious faith, that we may come and learn more of what we must do. This afternoon, I'm going to speak to you for a little while on the subject of faith. Our world seems to be, as Paul mentioned this morning, they're deluded into believing a lie when it comes to the subjects of the Bible. They always seem to be taking the easy way out, and faith is one of the most predominant ways that is, that they believe that they're saved by faith only. And that works don't count for anything. That they don't have to do anything. And as Paul mentioned this morning, most of them just want to sit around and wait till everything gets better and utopia shows up. And then everything's going to be all right. You know, I wonder if back during Noah's day, there were not people that thought along the same lines. We're going to study this for just a little while this morning, this afternoon. I told Brian before services that I don't really feel well today. My stomach's all jacked up. I'm not going to keep you here very long. But I thought just a little short message on the faith that Noah had to build that great and monstrous ark in the face of all the obstacles he had would be something that would be good for us today. And so at this time, we wish to go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. Cheryl was asking me this morning if Hannah was a pretty good driver to drive me around. Well, Hannah's a little young for driving, but not all that far away. I told her she'll get her permit in about 6 months. And so, yes, I've already started teaching her to drive. But I've already started teaching Miles to drive, too. I believe in starting early. But, you never know when I'm going to need a driver. I taught David to drive when he was about 10 years old. Miles is 2 years older than that now. But, you know, there's a certain thing that's involved when you put a kid behind the wheel and you're sitting over there where you can't touch the brake and the gas. And that's faith that they're going to do exactly what you say. And that's one of the first rules I established from having Miles when I started teaching them to drive. I laid the law down that now when I say to stop, I don't want a discussion about it. I don't want any questions. I don't want to have to tell you why I said to stop. I want you to stop. I had them both out yesterday. We actually had about an hour driving lesson yesterday. Anna had been begging me to take her and teach her to drive because her mother told her she wouldn't do it. Anna's mother let her drive one time and Hannah ran over the curb and ran up into somebody's yard and did it. You're through. You're not ever driving again in my car. Well, my old pickup's a little tougher, I guess, but Hannah didn't run over any curbs now. But just going down the straightaway yesterday, for no reason at all, I hollered to stop just to see if they would. Miles didn't. Miles turned and looked at me and went, "What? Why?" And I yelled at him again to stop. And then the real fiasco went in. Because he stopped on the brake with his left foot and on the gas with his right foot. So we learned a double lesson there. Why I had already told him, do not use your left foot. That's not what we're driving with. Everything happens with the right foot. I don't have a standard shift pickup. You don't have to push the clutch. Plant that left foot on the floor and leave it alone. Hannah did considerably better than that, but in Miles' defense, Hannah had a little warning and she knew I was liable to do that. You know, sometimes I think about people and God, they have to have that 2-hour explanation of why we're going to do this. Why we're going to do that, well, that doesn't make any sense. Now, you know, Miles could not see any danger if there wasn't any. We were out in the middle of the parking lot, long way from anybody, there were no other cars around. And I had them driving up and down the aisles and turn, making turns and doing this and that, and there was no emergency. But I just wanted to see if he'd stop if I said to. You know, the Bible informs us that we have to have faith in order to please God. Hebrews 11:16 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God didn't tell us just to have faith and there wouldn't be anything for us. But we're told that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him and have faith in him. We're going to get something out of this. Because of the examples that we're given, we do not have to worry what's involved in a saving faith. We're not asked to just have faith. It's a saving faith. One of the examples that we're given where people are saved by faith is Noah. Now, those who believe in faith only are going to have a lot of explaining to do when it comes to the example of Noah. In Hebrews 11:7, it says, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Not only did Noah prepare an ark because God told him to, not for any reason but Noah understood. It had never rained upon the earth before, it had never flooded. So what by man's reasoning would cause Noah to want to build this ark? All the other people thought he was foolish. But because of Noah's faith in God, Noah built this ark that resulted in the saving of his family. But I point out to you that it also condemned the rest of the world. Now they had their chance. But they turned it down. And I think we see the same thing today. Those of us who have the faith to believe in the cross, to believe in the resurrection, to believe in the plan of salvation, we're with by the type of the flood and the saving of the ark, we're buried in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. Not only do we save ourselves, but that's also a condemnation to the rest of the world who refuses to do it. They're their own worst enemy. Faith involves works of obedience, and the example of Noah makes it very clear. When a person has faith in God, he will obey without hesitation. Just like I asked Miles to yesterday when I asked him to slam on the brakes. I coached basketball for many years. I had some fairly good basketball teams during my time. One of the things that other coaches could not understand is how I could get a bunch of junior high boys, and that's all I ever coached with junior high boys, to know when the fast break. Well, I have a big voice. You can hear me all over the gym. Anytime I holler something, I can be sitting on the bench just as calm as I want to be and holler break. My kids will be gone. It didn't make any difference whether the kid that had the ball was facing toward the goal or not. Those kids trusted me. They had faith in me that I knew what I was talking about. And that if I saw as an extra set of eyes sitting on the side of the bench over here that there was a fast break opportunity available, they did it. They could be facing the wrong direction and just throw the ball. They didn't care. Somebody will be there. And other coaches never understood. They quizzed me about that. How do you get those kids to do that? I got those kids to do that because we did that a lot. They were used to me saying that, and they had faith that even if it did fail up, I wasn't going to yell at them. It was my fault. I told them to do it. But you know, God is the same way. We've got to have faith that's unhesitating. Even if the task involves seems over-demanding. When we look at the example of Noah, we see that he's given a demanding assignment by God. He was told to build an ark that's 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. This was 120 years worth of work. Over a lifetime for us. 120 years. And this man, Noah's not a young man when this happens. And when that's over with, then he's got another job. He's got to round up all the people that are going to be in there. All the animals are going to be in there. And you know, if you think about it, Noah had to be an evangelist at the same time. He had to be out trying to convince other people that God had actually told him to build this ark. And that God was going to save those people that got in there. I'll have to say, according to our standards, he was not a successful evangelist. Because even his own grandfather didn't get in the ark. A lot of people wonder how Methuselah died. Well, Methuselah died because Methuselah didn't get in the ark with Noah. Noah could have all this time questioned God about, how come I have to build one so big? Why don't we do it this way? I'm not a carpenter. I don't know how to build ships. He just simply followed God's instructions. He did all that God commanded. Genesis 6 and 22 says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Hebrews 11 and 7 again says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark in the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir to the righteousness which is by faith. Where does righteousness come from? From that faith that he talked about. We see that Noah was warned of God. And that indicates that Noah received the word of God. And by faith, acted upon it. Faith involves works of obedience. And without a doubt, the building of an ark was a great work of faith. Noah was saved by faith, but not by faith alone. James explains it this way. He says in James 2 and 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And then in verse 24 it says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Faith involves more than just accepting the Lord as your personal Savior, as they would tell you today. Obedience puts a faith into action. These works are not works of merit. We don't deserve anything. I don't care how much work we do. We can't earn salvation. We're not good enough. Just because Noah built an ark, if he'd done it on his own, he would have sunk. But because Noah built his works upon his faith, Noah was able to build an ark unlike any we've ever seen. Salvation comes by the grace of God, but we earn that by our faith and our works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can't claim to be righteous. We can't claim that we're going to heaven because we're such good Christian people. But we can claim the gift of grace because of our faith and our works. If the ideal of faith only is true, then the Bible tells us that even the demons and the devils would be saved. James 2 and 19 says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But you know, we're taught in the Bible that there's no place in heaven for those. There's no place for the devil. There's no redemption. His bed's been made and he's going to lie. There's no choice. God's not offering a plan of redemption for the devil. But as Paul talked this morning, there was a way made for not only the Jews, but the Gentiles to be brought back into the fold of God. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone that saith unto the Lord, saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And Luke 6:46 says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? You know, there was no way that Noah could just believe that there was a God and accept him as the one that was going to save him and then not act upon the instructions that God had given him. Would Noah have been saved without the building of the ark? If he'd have just rested his hands on top of the TV and said, I believe, would the flood water for them abating? And Noah and his families passed by? Peter uses Noah's faith as an illustration. He says in 1 Peter 3:20-21, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure thereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, Noah was commanded to build an ark and go in. And we're commanded to repent and to be baptized. In Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We act upon our faith when we obey God's commands. Now ask yourself today, did the work that Noah put in building the ark justify saving this family? Or was it the grace of God that was pleased with him because he had faith enough to do what he was told? I have to think back to when the apostles were on the stormy sea and Jesus came walking to them upon the water. And Peter wanted to walk upon the water too. And everything worked great until one thing went wrong. He lost faith. He began to doubt whether Jesus could actually hold him up and have him walk on the water. And he began to sink. If we allow our faith to waver today, just like Peter, we can go below the waves. We have to be faithful unto death. The scriptures show plainly that Noah would not have been saved by the grace of God had he not put his faith into action by obeying the commands of God. Noah had to build that ark and get on it. Get inside and seal the door before he would get saved. When we submit ourselves to God's command and repent and are baptized, we're not just doing the works of merit. That means that God owes us salvation. These are works of obedience. And like Noah, we have to obey. For those teaching today that you're saved by faith alone, I'm afraid they're going to have a lot of explaining to do to Noah. But there were a couple of hundred years of faith involved in that before Noah and his family were saved. The lesson is yours this afternoon. I hope that something good has been said here at this time this afternoon. At this time, it's always our pleasure to offer an invitation song to any who are subject to the gospel call. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.